Now, what is a core belief or piece of common knowledge that you've held on to for a long time, but in the last maybe a few years that you had to unlearn to help yourself grow?
Well, I would say maybe, family projecting and trying to have a powerful family with my current family members. And I had to realize that if you don't come from the family you want, then the family you want has to come from you. And when you start to have your own children and start have your own family, you can architect and design the family that you want to have through the family that you have. And I had to learn not to place expectations on my brothers that I placed on myself. And that was a very challenging and a hard and painful process to actually go through. But I had no choice to go through it because my brothers weren't as supportive as I wanted to or needed them to be in my career and my endeavors. And we couldn't find this thing where we can create a purposeful family structure. And a lot of times, just because you're blood doesn't mean you're family. It just means you're a relative. And that was something that I had to accept, internalize, and then, move past that and stay focused on developing myself, my career, and eventually my own legacy.
Before you become to before you came to that realization, was there ever a point where you kind of looked at yourself and was like, yo, is it my fault? This stuff is not coming together. Is it something that I've done?
I thought it was my fault, I would have stopped a long time ago. I always knew that what I was doing was the right thing to do. You can't have a family without finances. Can't have a strong, successful family without finances. So my focus was always on how do we create finances? How do we create family businesses? How do we create a family that actually produces shit? And a lot of times, you can't force the people in your family to do the work that you're willing to do. And if they're not willing to do the work, and you're the only person doing the work, but you're depending or expecting them to work with you, then you're setting yourself up for failure. And you have to have the foresight, the courage, and the determination to sever the ties or sever the relationship and keep it moving.
Yeah, 100%. Man, something I heard often, people say it's hard to do business with family. And I don't understand why that dynamic can be so difficult. Because I've seen it happen where people can be successful, but unfortunately, it's kind of rare.
I mean, well, a lot of times family members have entitlement and everybody wants to have the success without the process you must go through in order to acquire the success. And then there's hereditary curses, there's limiting beliefs and mindsets that are passed down from generation to generation by the older generation in the family. And because uncle, nobody gives a fuck, didn't do it, then now nobody can do it. And because aunt, her name is not even worth mentioning, didn't have the discipline, the patience, and the consistency to start this company, then she's gonna always teach the people coming behind her that there's more obstacles than there actually are. And those obstacles that she's trying to get you to be fearful of or deter you was her own downfall or her own inability to overcome life's challenges and be a success and let that success be a guiding light in the family. So, you the men, the women and the families, they pass down these mindsets, right? So it's like limiting beliefs. And then it's like my success becomes a highlight for the regret that you feel for not becoming successful or having the courage to apply yourself so you can be successful. And it's not about family. It's not about blood. It's not about none of that shit. It's really just about aligning interests and then making sure you align yourself with people who have a similar or close to interest as yourself And then how does that interest add value? And then we're working from there. And then over time, you develop a connection, a connectedness, a rapport, camaraderie, and then that becomes your family. Blood doesn't make you family. Love does.
Ah, man, that's a bar. Now, that kind of made me think, because we're talking about starting things with your family. But some, it get kind of crazy at the end, too. Like, even in death, I've seen in my own family and even other families, conflict come when someone passes away, someone arguing about, you know, little pieces of property or materialistic things. And I wonder, like, is that because that structure wasn't there in the beginning in the first place? And it just makes it even worse when someone is gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, a lot of times with African-American or African families, the man is not the head of the household. So if you don't have a strong, powerful man at the head of the family, the backbone of the family is not the woman. The man is supposed to be the backbone of the family. And if there's not a strong, masculine male presence presiding over that family, then that family has a low success rate of becoming successful in any type of endeavor, especially business. So you have to have strong men. You have to have a strong male presence in the family. You have to have a wise female presence in the family, because through that wise female presence in the family, you have wisdom and the wisdom to submit. And submission mean to be in agreement. So now the women in the family are in agreement with the men in the family, and they let the men lead, essentially setting an example for the boys and the girls coming up next to be in them same positions.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you said something very key there, like that wisdom to submit. Like, submitting is not a weakness. That's having wisdom, because also that person is also thinking about the bigger picture. They know that this man is a strong man and holding things down for the family, also thinking futuristically for that legacy of that family. You know what I mean? And then also you got to look at the optics of it as well. Like, what type of example are you, you know what I'm saying, sending to the rest of your family, you know, behind you?
Yeah, for sure. And wisdom doesn't need a disclaimer. You're either going to be wise enough to submit or foolish enough to not submit and deal with the consequences that lack of submission brings to the family in the form of generational curses, in the form of limiting, you know, the potential in the family to see its peak potential and to produce results with the potential that the younger generation has in the family.
Right.
But the reason why you see that with our people is because we have to deal with systemic racism. We have to deal with white supremacy. We have to deal with, you know, European men having an agenda to destroy the Black family power structure. So it's not in our nature to not do good business or create business with our family. It's not in our women's nature to not be submissive. It's actually in our women's nature to depend on the Black man. But on the plantation, the slave master created a system to remove the women out of their natural state of dependency on the man. So now all this shit is fucked up, right? So now you look at families today and we confused, but there was a foundation of destruction given to us and we inherited that shit. And the key to going from dysfunctional family to a functional family is a reboot, a pivot, a mental shift, and definitely having a different fucking relationship with God.
Yeah, 100%. Just like they did with slavery, they removed that power of the man. They even progressed even further with the government coming in, trying to replace the man, the Black man in the home. You know, it all was a trickle down effect. And unfortunately, yeah, a lot of us fell for the same trap.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, even talking about that, you know, you're a person that has pride in who you are, who your, what your culture is, Black people and everything. I wanted to ask you, what is the biggest misunderstanding or even fear that drives certain people discomfort when they witness someone with unapologetic cultural pride?
Well, you can't give, you know, you don't want to put a blanket statement, right? You want to have a general, you know, you want to be more direct. When Black men have confidence, when Black men have racial pride, then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. We're the only group of men that when we are proud to be strong, masculine, heterosexual Black men, there's an issue. And there's an issue because of white supremacy, the fear of white genetic annihilation, white people as genetic recessives subconsciously being afraid of being wiped out through interracial reproduction, you know, and creating a white extinction event. We have the ability to get rid of white people through procreation, right? So, and then they're not superior, they're actually inferior. Genetically, we're the dominant. Genetically, they're the recessive. They're the inferior. So when you have this racial pride as a Black man, as an African, you're fucking scaring white people subconsciously because they believe that you have the ability to pull and push them into extinction, which we do. So that's just what it is. And our racial pride doesn't need a disclaimer. Fuck out of here. I'm proud to be Black.
Right. As you should.
Now, would you look at a white man differently if he said, fuck out of here, I'm proud to be white?
No, because there's nothing to be proud of. He couldn't genuinely say that. He couldn't genuinely say that. So when you say you're proud to be white, what are you proud of? The accolades or contributions, white people have contributed nothing to the world. Everything they did was rape, steal, murder, pillage. So what are you proud of? You proud that you were educated by our people and then you turned around and lied and said we were the failing student and you were the teacher when in actuality we taught you? You, white men, the Europeans, we taught them. They were our students. Then they try to erase history, blow up all the schools that we invented, make up their own schools, and then put posters of us in the hallways of their schools saying Black people are deaf, dumb, blind, stupid, and lazy and crazy. What are you proud of? You proud of coming to this place you call America as if you were the first man here when we were here before the so-called Indian, and who you think is an Indian ain't really an Indian? So Christopher Columbus and the pilgrims did to the Indians what the Indians did to the Africans. And by Indians, I'm saying the people who don't look like Black people saying they was the first people here. First people in every place of the world was Africans. Every place of the world, we are the originals. In every region, whatever the fuck you want to call, anywhere on this green round ball they call Earth, we were there first. So what are you proud of? You proud of over 400 fucking years of slavery? What are you proud of? Murdering babies and children and dogs and cats, shooting old ladies in the face, sicking German shepherds or women and ripping their breasts off? What do white people have anything to be proud of? For God's sakes, you have annihilated even, you know, and gave birth to a feminist movement because you were putting contraptions in women's vaginas and ripping out their organs for your perverse pleasure. What the fuck do white men have anything to be proud of? I wouldn't feel no type of way. I would think he was joking. I would check the calendar to see if it was April Fool's. Okay? White men have nothing to be proud of. They have everything to be accountable for, and they should have everything to feel not proud. They should feel disgusted. They should feel the need for service. And who should they be serving? The people that they oppressed, colonized, and murdered for the last 400 plus fucking years.
Yeah.
So
feel you.
White man can say that shit all he want. It's not real. White power. Well, you don't have no power. You're not even, I'm superior. White, you're not. Genetically, I'm superior. So make that make sense.
Yeah. I dig it.
Now, so if Black pride was a currency, where do you think Black people have been taxed the most for having it? And is it anything we need to change when it comes to that? Or can it be changed?
Well, you got to understand, cultural pride, us having cultural pride is a direct threat to the white power structure. This is how it is perceived. So they're very fearful of that. Also, so this is why we have the slave consciousness, right? And the life you live while being in mental bondage, that's taxing. It's taxing on the spirit. It's taxing on the soul. It's taxing on the finances. It's taxing on the community, right? It's taxing on the fucking culture. you know, having a mindset of a slave. And the only way to break the slave consciousness is through positive affirmations, understanding how your subconscious mind works, meditation, affirmations like I am enough, I am blessed, I am protect, I am loved, all those things. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a tax, it's just taxing. Like, it's taxing on the mental, it's taxing on the spirit to be a fucking slave and have a nigga mindset.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's deep there, man. I agree that it's very taxing because, and then it's so many different layers of how it's taxing. It's even like, what makes me think, like, you are brown-skinned man, I'm a lighter-skinned man, we're both black, though. But we both have different type of experiences, even amongst our own, that I think has been trickled down from us being fooled by white supremacy from back in the day.
Yeah, that goes back to the Willie Lynch letter, because they say we're gonna put the light against the dark and the dark against the light, and they try to create pigmentation wars. We're all the same. We're black. Right. Whether you're light, albino, chocolate, brown skin like me, it doesn't matter. We are all African.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that does matter. And understand that what we're doing is a miracle. You know how the Chinese got away from the Japanese? Chinese, they had Russia, and Russia and America helped the Chinese get away from the Japanese. And then all the Chinese nationalist groups, all the Chinese militias, all the Chinese communist parties, they all combined and worked together to get Japan off they fucking back and knock the Japanese chicken out they General Toso chicken. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's just what it is. So you have alliances. People who have been under extreme oppression, they got out by making strategic alliances and using those alliances and benefiting from the manpower of those alliances and fucking fighting and going to war for their freedom. It's not about protesting. It's not about expecting the fucking wolf to stop eating the chicken and expect the wolf to stop eating the fucking lamb. It's about self-reliance, doing for self, and fighting for your liberation and being unapologetic and relentless in that fight for your freedom and your liberation, because being free is the only fucking thing that matters.
Yeah, 100%. Do you think when it comes to being free, us getting those like black Wall Streets and things like that in place, do you think that's even possible again? Is that part of the freedom?
It's always, listen, man can never stop you from building. When you give man the power and the ability to destroy what you build by not protecting it, then that's just what happens. So the same emphasis that we put into building towns and cities like we did before, we have to put that same emphasis into building our own armies, militias, government agencies, things to protect what we're actually building. It will never be a space and time where you cannot build, grow, and develop. You will always be able to build, grow, and develop. But you have to protect what you build. You have to protect what you grow. You have to protect what you develop. That's another responsibility that we all have the capabilities to do. So,
yeah.
You know, it's happening again. You got the highest point right behind you, man. What the fuck you think you chop liver? You moving the needle forward every single day, brother.
Yes, sir. So are you, man, and I salute it. The Highest Point Podcast. More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.